some things that the book of Proverbs has to say about women in particular. We've seen that the book of Proverbs gives us a good definition of what constitutes an ungodly woman. And it also tells us what character traits that a godly woman possesses. And, of course, we saw that there was quite a difference between the two. We've also seen that the book of Proverbs, from the standpoint of a man, tells you the type of woman that you are to be looking for, the things that you are to use to judge what constitutes a godly woman, looking at her character as opposed to just her appearance. We've looked at some of the consequences of a man choosing poorly when it comes to selecting a woman to be his companion for life. And this morning we're going to start looking at some of the responsibilities that the man himself has. There are a number of things that the Bible says about the man's responsibility toward his wife. We saw in Proverbs chapter 31 that the godly woman, the virtuous woman, that her price is above rubies. A woman who meets that definition that's found there, that fits the definition of the godly woman that we find in the book of Proverbs and even elsewhere in the Bible, is someone very precious and should be very dear. And at the same time, she's someone who deserves a companion for life who is her male equivalent, who is someone who meets a very high standard. And for a man who wants to have that kind of companion, he's got to prepare himself and to conduct himself in such a way that he deserves to be paired with someone like the godly woman. To fail to do so, I think we're going to see, is sinful. A man has some very serious obligations to his wife. Let's start by looking at Ephesians chapter 5. We're not going to read this entire section here, but we do have the section here in Ephesians 5 where Paul compares the relationship between a husband and his wife to the relationship between Christ and the church. In verse 23 it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." So we're going to see beginning here some comparisons between Christ and the church and the husband and the wife, and how the relationship between the two is similar. Now, one of the primary focuses here, I believe, is really teaching about the relationship between Christ and the church, but there's also some very important teachings concerning the husband and wife relationships, some very important implications here. In verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So the love of a husband for his wife is to be that deep, that he is willing to sacrifice for his wife. The section here begins talking about wives submitting themselves to their husbands. The husband is in the leadership role in the home, and yet, even in that leadership role, he is pictured as someone who sacrifices things for his wife, and for a person who really understands leadership and what's involved. It's something that does involve a lot of self-sacrifice. People have a very distorted view of leadership many times, thinking that it is something that brings with it a lot of privileges, that the leader is someone who has served, and yet when we look at how Christ led and the things that He did, we can see that leadership by the New Testament definition of leadership is something very different from what the world has in mind today. What's one thing that Christ did in the very last days of His life here on earth that demonstrated the leader as one who serves? All right, washing His disciples' feet. And after that, what is the ultimate example that He gave of the leader as someone who serves and sacrifices for those that He leads? He gave His life for us. So leadership in the home is no different. The husband is the head of the household. The wife is to be in submission to it. But the husband needs to realize that in that leadership position, he is someone who is going to have to sacrifice and to work for that household. He's not just simply someone who is served and catered to. In verse 28, it says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." And then skipping down to verse 23, it says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Another thing to keep in mind for the man who is looking for a godly wife: if a woman is truly godly, what kind of person is she going to be looking for a husband? Is she going to be looking for some exciting scoundrel who lives a very colorful life from the standpoint of the worldly view of things?
Well, I look for someone who shares her values.
All right. She's likely going to be looking for someone, or she's going to be looking for someone who shares her values. So a man is going to have to prepare himself so that his character and his conduct is such that he will attract a godly woman. Another thing that can happen, another thing that you see from time to time, is where a woman that you would otherwise think of as being a faithful woman or a godly woman will end up in a marriage where it seems like the husband spends all of his time trying to beat her down and trying to undo a lot of the character traits that we would think of as being positive. Husbands can end up throwing stumbling blocks in front of their wives. Let's look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 13. We're looking at this verse to get an idea of what God's view is of someone who would throw a stumbling block in front of another person. It says, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way." Let's look also at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. It says, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." And then finally, let's look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6. Matthew 18 and verse 6 says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Now, clearly, putting stumbling blocks in front of other people is something that will cause a person to be condemned. It's clearly sinful. What are things that a husband might do that would create stumbling blocks for his wife? We look at the godly woman of the book of Proverbs and all the things that she's trying to do to be a good wife and to fulfill her responsibilities. And then along comes the husband. What are things that the husband might do that would cast stumbling blocks in front of the wife that would make it difficult for her to fulfill the role that she's supposed to fill? Okay. Okay. Certainly, for a husband to create stumbling blocks for his wife, it shows a lack of love. And that's certainly in violation of Ephesians chapter 5. Okay. Okay, neglecting things in the home, forcing the wife to pull more than her own load. All right, undermining the wife's authority over the children. And you can sometimes see that going both ways, where the husband and wife won't back each other up when it comes to the discipline of the children. And sometimes the husband will try to do that to exert his authority in the home. He'll try to undermine the wife's influence with the children. What are some other things that a husband might do that would be a stumbling block for a wife in the home?
He can, through his priority is that of material things. He makes that the focus of his family. You know, he expects his wife to get out there and have a job and be a good family. And, there's not cases where that has to be done.
Priorities wrong, placing it on material things and pressuring the wife to work outside the home. What are some of the other maybe aspects of his behavior or character that would create stumbling blocks for his wife? Pardon? All right. You see homes where the husband won't step up to be a leader. What's the primary area of leadership the husband is to take in the home? There are a lot of areas. What's the first and foremost area where the husband is to be the leader in the home? All right, the spiritual leader. You see that all the way back to the patriarchal age. The husband is the spiritual leader in the home. Now, if you look at popular society, popular literature, books, television programs, who is generally pictured as being the most spiritual spiritually minded person in the home. All right, the woman. It's the woman who's always dragging the husband to church. She's always trying to get the husband to do this or to clean up his act on this. But in the Bible, it's the husband who's pictured as a spiritual leader in the home. What are other areas of leadership in the home where the husband might, or where the husband doesn't always step up to the plate and take his role? Financial. He can put it off on the wife to support the home.
Well, the children, a lot of times, that's a two-person job, the wife. A lot of times, he leaves off his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He has a feeling that she's the one who's good. Not only that, my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. Or to train those children, and they both have to be together to do it. They can't even have one kind of idea how you do it, and the other have another one, and they're arguing about how it can be done.
All right. So the husband has a primary role in the disciplining of the children. He has an important role to take, and you see that a lot of times. The husband will... there's a problem, well, just go see their mother or go see your mother or let the mother take care of that. Husband has a role, important role in discipline in the home. Okay. That's another character flaw that a man can have that's going to throw a stumbling block in front of his wife is selfishness. Selfishness in the use of the resources of the home, spending money on his hobbies and interest to the detriment of things that are needed in the home. Selfishness with his time. Not being there when he should be, taking care of things in the home. So there are a lot of areas where the husband needs to be careful. We've talked about the virtuous woman and what a treasure she is. But a husband can create stumbling blocks through his own character flaws, through his own selfishness, through his own weakness. They can make it very hard for a woman to be the wife that she should be. Now, that obviously it doesn't excuse a neglect of one's duties when you're paired up with someone who's not pulling their load. But at the same time, the husband needs to keep in mind, based on the passages that we've talked about, where throwing a stumbling block in front of someone is very grievous sin, that he needs to be careful. That he is what he should be in the home, and that he's not a stumbling block. All right, any other questions or comments?
It might be that a man may be fine, but if he's married to a very strong-willed woman, she may be undermining him. So, you know, that sort of thing can work both ways.
Yes, it can.
Where she's determined to take charge.
Mm-hmm.
But what can he do? He's in a situation where he can't flaunt like the my teaching the Islam religion. But they have to stop short of that.
Yeah, we saw the Proverbs about having to live with a contentious woman. It can be like a form of slow torture. And again, that goes, one response to that would be to go back to what we said earlier about being careful about who you choose for a mate. There are certain warning signs for that type of thing that you need to keep in mind and to be on the lookout for, and that older people need to warn the younger people about when they're of an age to where they're choosing their mate. Another thing for husbands to consider in their treatment of their wives is whether or not they praise and encourage their wives. In Proverbs 11, verse 16, it talks about the woman being worthy of honor. And when we go over to Proverbs chapter 31, there are a couple of verses there that deal with the wife being praised by her husband and by her children. In Proverbs 31 and verse 28, it says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." In verse 31, it says, "Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." A woman who's a good wife is deserving of praise. She's deserving of praise from her children, and she's deserving of praise from her husband. Take a moment to talk about the children. Parents need to raise up their children to be respectful. The husband needs to encourage the children to be respectful to the mother and to express their gratitude toward the mother. The husband himself, it says here, praises his wife. And the way that this passage is worded and the way that it's written, I would conclude that this isn't just telling a story about this woman, but this is a description of how the husband behaves that carries with it authority. In other words, that it carries the import of a command to the husband. If you've got a wife like this, or a wife who's trying to meet these standards, she deserves to be praised. And you've got an obligation to praise her, and really, you shouldn't, your feelings for her should be such that you shouldn't have to be forced to praise her. Husbands and wives, especially early in the marriage, they have to give each other allowances for experience and time. You don't just jump into a marriage, the wife knowing how to cook everything just like mama did, and the husband being able to fix anything just like daddy did. You have to give each other some slack and show some patience. We're talking about Ephesians chapter 5 and the husband's love for the wife. Talk about the honor that he's to have for her. Proverbs 31 here tells us that he is to treasure her like a very valuable jewel. Let's talk a little bit about love and the expression of love and the expression of honor. When Christ was telling his disciples, or teaching his disciples, he said, "If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments." So love is not just a feeling, is it? We can't say that we love God and that we've got this great feeling for him in our hearts and yet not show that love. And in particular, Christ said, through the keeping of his commandments. What are other ways that we show our love to God? That our actions, actual physical actions that we take that show our love for God? All right. We teach others about him. We worship him in song. What are some other things that we do, physical actions that we go through that show our love for God? We learn about him so we know how to please him. So there's the whole realm of worship, the whole realm of service are things that we do to show our love for God.
Well, the goal of God is prayer. Not only is the things that you need, thank you for the things really But taking him in his partnership and the things that you do, that's a business and profession, that nature. And you can do that in prayer. In other words, you can go to the Father. You can talk to the same four with
him. What's another thing that we do in prayer? Another part of our prayer, and we see this a lot in the singing and praises that occur in heaven. But what's another component of prayer that we see very often? Adoration and praise. Now, having said all of that, we've kind of laid the groundwork for the fact that love is something that has to be expressed. James chapter 2 tells us that faith without works is dead. By the same token, I think that we can see that love without works is dead. So, going back to a husband's love for his wife, what are some things that the husband is going to be doing to fulfill this responsibility of praising his wife? And obviously the words are going to be involved here, expressing it verbally, but what are some other things that he's going to be doing that shows or express his love and praise for his wife? All right. Okay. All right. A lot of things there to consider. The idea of communication. Husbands and wives have to learn to communicate with each other and sometimes have to learn to communicate in a very tactful way. Communicate respectfully, communicate tactfully, so that you're considerate of the other's feelings, learning about the other person. One thing that older men and older women need to do is to spend some time educating young people about the thoughts and feelings of their partner and how to understand them. Husbands and wives need to talk so that you can learn about each other and each other's feelings and needs and establish that communication between each other. All right, any other questions or comments? We've kind of touched on this different times, but the responsibility that older people have to teach younger people about marriage. The older men have responsibility to teach the younger men. Let's turn to Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, in verse 2, it says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. Going on to verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So older people here are pictured as, in addition to possessing the traits of a Christian, of a mature Christian, they're also pictured as having the responsibility of teaching younger people. In Proverbs chapter 1 through 9, what's the basic story of Proverbs 1 through 9? What is this discourse about? Who? The father is addressing his son. And we see that whole nine chapters there. The father giving instruction to the son. So older men have a responsibility to teach younger men. And by way of review, what are some of the things that they need to be teaching these younger men?
How to be men.
Okay. So some of the things that the older men need to be teaching these younger men are things like how to choose a wife. And you can go back over the passages that we've looked at in the book of Proverbs that deal with the ungodly woman versus the godly woman and the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31. And the older men need to teach the younger men to value those qualities in a woman and teach them how to recognize them, teach them how to recognize the qualities of the ungodly woman, and how those will be expressed and how to avoid that type of person. They need to be teaching the young men how to prepare themselves to be good husbands and how to conduct themselves in that marriage as husbands. The older women have a responsibility to teach the younger women. They need to teach them, of course, how to choose a husband, how to prepare themselves to be good wives, and then how to conduct themselves once they become a wife. All right, any other questions or comments about anything?
Yes, sir. Abusive marriage or whatever one for the other. I think about this gospel preacher in Tennessee that his wife killed. It seemed that he was riding her because she was doing away with lunch or something. But now, instead of being remorseful for seeing what she did, she was spotted a few days ago smoking and drinking at a bar. And it seems it's very possible he might have made a bad choice the very first time. We don't know what all happened, but I just thought about her acting the way she is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously there were some strange things going on in that marriage that we don't know about. Somebody somewhere made some very bad decisions in that marriage. And that's kind of an extreme case of what can happen when a marriage goes bad. But I have known, and I'm sure many of you have too, of people that have got themselves involved in marriages that they could have avoided if they had been more careful. All right, any other questions or comments? Right. It's something that requires trust, and it requires us to conduct ourselves in a way that we can be trusted. But we'll stop here for this week, and Lord willing, Wednesday night we'll take up looking at some proverbs concerning the tongue.